Welcome to Brand New Doctor. My name is Rolla Carajo, doctor turned healthcare graphic designer and brand strategist. This is the show where we share big ideas and look for inspiration in all kinds of places to help you grow a fulfilling career in healthcare. Following a path to success is one thing, but carving your own is another. So this is for you if you want to go beyond book smart. What if your well-being can make you better at what you do? Like the GP / dance teacher who shares their passion to promote well-being at work. So this very specific example is actually a real person. Before we dive into the episode today, I just want to take a moment to tell you about the upcoming launch event of a project I'm really excited to share. It's a celebration with an exclusive workshop for a health branding and design collective called And Matter. This is something I've been working towards for a couple of years now, which brings together creativity and medical expertise in an exciting new way. The name, the work, the philosophy is all based around a vision of humanizing healthcare through design. So what does that mean? Well, so much to come in the future, but for now, what that means is crafting brands and digital experiences in the healthcare and health tech space that embody humanity, healing, and trust. I'm going to show you a lot more of my design work. And because this is a collective, I'll also be working with some people I really admire, including Dr. Giles Morrison, someone who has featured on the podcast before. So what better way to launch And Matter than to celebrate and dive into an exclusive workshop on humanizing health brands? We'll be exploring how we can connect with our audiences on a deeper level and how we can transform the experience of healthcare for everyone involved, whether that's patients, clinicians, or other professionals. It's free for you to come, and it will be hosted at Health Foundry, a health tech hub in central London. You can connect with me and with other like minds who are passionate about reshaping healthcare with empathy and creativity. So if you are building a brand in the healthcare space, I would love you to join us for our launch on Wednesday, the 24th of April at 6 p.m. at Health Foundry. Follow the link in the show notes to sign up. I just can't wait to see you there. But for now, on to the episode today. My guest, Dr. Neerja Joshi. So to start with, what led you in the direction you've taken? Are there any kind of key moments that you can think of that kind of led you down the path you're on now?
So that's a very interesting question. For me, I've always loved dance, but I was always pursuing sciences. So I never did it in any sort of professional capacity. So I took dance only from the age of about 14, which would be considered very, very late for someone who is interested in dance because it would normally start age 2. So that was the first thing, that I was always more focused on science and medicine than dancing. Dancing was a hobby. And then in university, I found great outlets for dance. So we started a cheerleading squad. And from that, I took the role of choreographing routines, which ended up winning national competitions. And I thought, actually, this isn't something that I just do that's fun. It's great. It's stress relieving. It involves kind of leadership and teamwork and communication and all these things that seem really polar opposite to medicine. Dancing doesn't seem like it has anything to do with medicine, but really the skills we needed to perform as a cheerleading squad weren't too dissimilar to the skills you need to perform as a team on the ward in an emergency. So it's really great to have that experience. And I found the balance in medical school fantastic. Loved performing. It was great. And then all of a sudden, you end up in foundation year. Now, that for me was a real turning point because it's the first time that you're being a real life doctor. That job that you've always dreamed of is suddenly happening, and you realize it's really, really tough. And the things that you have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, including really difficult themes like palliative care or cardiac arrests, and those are the things I personally found difficult. And you know, when you have to go and certify deaths and go to the mortuary on your lunch break, it was a very, very odd thing for a 24-year-old to be doing, really, if you think about it. And the shift pattern, it just didn't allow for any rest or respite. And I thought, well, why should it have to be one way or the other? So I took up a dance class near where I was. I looked through the window. They have this opportunity for you to look through the window before you do the class. I said, there's no way I could ever do that. But I thought, you know what, 1 week, let me just give it a go. I loved it so much. They decided to put on a Christmas show. And I said, right, how hard is it to make rehearsals with shift work as a foundation doctor? But I said, I don't care. Before nights, I'll go to rehearsal and go straight to my nights. It was that crazy. And then it happened that the teacher of that dance class was opening up her own studio. And that's where the opportunities started to arise. So she said to me, why don't you come and teach here? At that point, I decided to take an F3. And I said, that's the only way I can do this on the regular and also continue doing medicine in some shape or form. So I somehow managed to find a balance for the need that I had for that creative outlet. And within GP training, I managed to work with my practice to bring dancing into the workplace for a 10-minute dance break a day, which was great. And you wouldn't think those two worlds would collide, but it worked very well. And then in the pandemic, I worked with the RCGP to produce a YouTube video for GPs to get active because we were all working, doing telephone consultations and becoming a lot more sedentary. So it was just really nice to see that these two worlds that were completely separate can be integrated. And that's kind of how things happened. But I think the turning point for me was foundation year.
Why do you think so many people feel stuck in their jobs, that they have to do something that they don't really want to?
Well, I remember there was a moment that I had some coaching and I also felt trapped. And it's not to say that I felt trapped because I didn't like the work that I was doing. I felt like I didn't have options. And then the coach said to me, she said, well, you have hundreds of options. She said, if this was a friend in this situation, what would you suggest to them? And that they could stay in their job, they could add another job, they could try doing something at the weekends, they can try working from home a bit, they can work flexibly. You know, there are lots and lots of options of what you can do. And knowing that you have those options and opportunities has led me to be able to create a week that I'm really happy with, that's really balanced for me. And I just also wanted to just put in a caveat that this isn't for everyone. You know, being employed in multiple different roles, being self-employed, creating a startup, you know, organization is not, it's not for everyone. And I feel like there's also a pressure for the hustle culture that you've got to continue to be doing things and doing things. It works for me and it works really well for me. And it allows me to be a better doctor, all of these other things. And I appreciate that. But I don't want anyone to hear this and feel the pressure that, you know, this person's doing this many things, so I should also be doing that. Because you don't have to. If you're content in what you're doing, then that's great. And if you feel like you want to add something or change something, that's also an option. So just to know, there's options in whatever you choose to do.
I think realizing that you do have options is a big part of it. I remember, for me, again, looking at the opposite side, someone who's chosen to leave. For me, in foundation, my foundation years, whenever I'd have a really bad shift, I would just go on Guardian Jobs on the website and I'd look at the graduate schemes they had there. And I would just think, okay, I can, if I wanted to, I could leave and I could just apply for a job. And then I would think, okay, but I'm actually choosing to be here. This is my decision to stay here because I could leave at any point. And that was oftentimes enough to kind of soothe me in those moments, because I would just think, okay, I'm not trapped here. It's not by force. I'm deciding to make this decision, and just having that sense of agency. In my mind, it's through habits that we can sustain a change in our lives. And that applies to well-being as well, mental well-being as well, that we can create habits that help us in the long run with our mental well-being. There are lots of books and methods, YouTube videos, everything out there that have helped a lot of people with this. So I'm curious if you would agree. And if so, what do you think are the top habits that you would recommend for someone to cultivate their mental well-being?
So habit forming, I would completely agree, is at the cornerstone of kind of making these well-being changes. The top changes that I would suggest, and I'll purely talk about my experience in GP recently and things that I made active changes for. Number one was doing mindfulness before an on-call day. So as the computer's switching on, before you're about to start that, you know, 10, 11 hour day, which you know is going to be difficult, just doing those few minutes of mindfulness, because it doesn't take time away from anyone else or anything else, but it puts you in a better frame of mind. Second thing is making sure you get out for lunch. So when you're stuck on an on-call in general practice, it can feel like you're really chained to your desk, but you don't have to be. So I made sure that I got away from my desk and I didn't bring lunch. And I know this is going to sound odd for a well-being habit, but I didn't bring lunch. So I had to leave the building to get lunch. So it meant I got time away and, if possible, with a colleague.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Brand New Doctor. I hope it inspired you in your personal journey. Check out the notes for a summary of the show with all of the important links. And if you enjoyed this,